Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
Have all members voted? And does any member wish to change their vote? If not, the clerk will report.
Mr. Chairman, on this vote, the yeas are 34 and the nays are 17.
The majority having voted in favor, the motion is agreed to. H.R. 7567 is amended to be reported favorably to the House.
Chairman of the House Ag Committee, G.T. Thompson from Pennsylvania, announcing the passage of the 2026 Farm Bill through the committee. Now, the measure passed following more than 20 hours of debate across 2 days, marking significant progress toward updating federal farm policy that's operated under extension since the 2018 Farm Bill expired. Supporters say the legislation strengthens the farm safety net, expands rural investment, improves access to credit, while critics argue it falls short of addressing declining farm income, rising cost, and export challenges. Major farm and commodity organizations welcome the committee action, saying producers need updated policy tools as margins tighten and market uncertainty continues across ag. Committee last approved a farm bill in 2024, but it never reached the House floor. Lawmakers now face a more difficult path toward final passage as negotiations shift to the full House and then the Senate. Democratic members voting in favor of the legislation included Costa from California, Davis from North Carolina, Davids from Kansas, California's Gray, McDonald Rivet from Michigan, Riley from New York, and Vasquez from New Mexico. U.S. farm machinery demand continues weakening as lower crop incomes, higher borrowing costs, and tariff pressures combine to slow equipment purchases and reshape manufacturer strategies. That's according to the University of Illinois and a report from FarmDoc Daily. The downturn reflects tightening farm margins that are directly influencing capital spending decisions across ag. Now, the report shows that equipment sales have remained in contraction territory for more than 2 years. Creighton University Farm Equipment Sales Index has stayed below growth neutral levels since October of 2023. Falling to 16.7 in February. National data shows tractor sales declined to 195,857 units last year, down nearly 10% year over year. Combine sales down sharply, decline of more than 35%. Dealers also reporting widespread declines in demand for both new and used equipment. Well, ag lenders rapidly adopting automation and artificial intelligence tools as farm financial risks grow more complex. It's signaling changes in how producers access credit and manage borrowing relationships. New analysis from Moody's shows lenders shifting toward data-driven decision tools to better evaluate risk as margins tighten across ag. Higher interest rates, volatile commodity markets, and rising production costs are increasing pressure on farm borrowers. Moody's reports lenders using now automation to streamline loan processing, analyze repayment capacity, and monitor portfolios. It's Agriculture Today.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
This has been Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally sold thousands of acres of grassland in Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, and Oklahoma. Our inventory on ranches is as low as it has been in years. We really need listings on ranches of all sizes. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.
with Agriculture Today. Here's Tony St. James.
Between policy research, drafting, technical assistance, and the countless turns with the Congressional Budget Office, our staff have proved themselves to be invaluable advocates and resources for sound agricultural policy.
Chairman of the House Ag Committee from Pennsylvania, G.T. Thompson, on the Farm Bill.
Now, I appreciate the entire teams on both sides of the aisle for the work that they've done to organize and carry out the committee's business. I hope everyone in this room has a sense of urgency about what we are doing here today. Our farmers, ranchers, and rural communities need a new Farm Bill, and they don't need it next year or need it next Congress. They need it now. In my opening remarks yesterday, I encouraged everyone on this committee to not let the perfect be the enemy of the good. In fact, I think I heard that statement repeated by a few of my colleagues on both sides of the aisle. I hope everyone here today felt that they had the opportunity to deliberate ideas, offer amendments, and engage with the will of the committee. It was a slog, but ultimately that is how legislating is supposed to work. It's not meant to be a rubber stamp of the chairman's mark crafted in secret, but rather a process by which the chairman generates a starting point, and then every member of the committee has an opportunity to refine and improve this underlying bill. We built this bill in a way that is not typical for Washington. We did it from the outside in, as versus the inside out. All those travels, look around the room with many of the members here, and this is where the needs were identified, out in the fields, on the farms, on the ranches, in the local fire halls. That is the way you should do legislation. That is the way this was done. Every member of this committee has an opportunity to refine and improve the underlying bill. And that is what happened here today, and I'm proud of all of you who participated. Please believe me that when I say that I want to continue working in good faith with each of you on important policy within our committee's jurisdiction. With that commitment in mind, I ask you to think about the constituents that you represent and the good this bill will do for them. This bill is not about us. This bill is about them. It's about the people that, quite frankly, that feed and clothe this nation, that provide energy resources. It's the people of rural America that provide so much to every American family and, quite frankly, many families around the world. If you care about the future of the farmers and ranchers who feed, fuel, and clothe our country, I hope you'll support this bill. If you care about the 60 million Americans living in rural areas, I hope you can support this bill. And above all, if you believe food security is national security, I encourage you to support this bill. We know that a full 5-year farm bill moves the needle for our entire nation, not just farm country. Before us, we have a real opportunity to move American agriculture forward. Now, I'm proud of this bill, and I'm proud of the work that we've done to further improve it in the last 24 hours. And this is just the first step in the process. There's more work to be done, more refinements that can be made, and if we report this bill out with a robust bipartisan vote, we'll have a path to the floor where more improvements can be made. However, if we let partisanship get in the way, if we let perfect be the enemy of good and allow the momentum to stall, then our farmers and rural communities will be left waiting for another year for a long overdue farm bill. That would be a disservice to our hardworking stakeholders.
It's Agriculture Today.
The planting season is right around the corner. You can't afford to be down when it's time to go. Wiley Implement and Spray Center, your Case IH dealer, can get your equipment ready for the season and keep you running. We also have a great selection of new and used planters for the upcoming season. Depend on Wiley's 13 locations across Texas and Oklahoma. Find us at WileySprayers.com.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts round here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
This is Agriculture Today.
It's really been about 10 years.
Speaking last month at the Economic Club of Dallas, Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent.
I think a lot of it, and again, I was also a financial institutions analyst in the early part of my career, so I followed the regulated banking system, the insurance companies, SNLs, when there were SNLs. I think private credit developed as a regulatory arbitrage because post Dodd-Frank, the regulatory straitjacket around our regulated institutions was so tight, making loans became very difficult. The big got bigger. We lost more than 50%, 5-0, of our small and community banks because it went from too big to fail to too small to succeed. Mm-hmm. And you know, I think like this growth outside the system at Treasury, we have been pushing for loosening of the regulatory straitjacket. Oliver Wyman's words, not Treasury's. They believe that our changes in regulation, that I don't change the regulations, I guide them through a convening mechanism as the chair of the Stability and Oversight Council, but OCC, Control of the Currency, FDIC, and the Fed, that's probably created $2.5 trillion of new borrowing capacity. Mm-hmm. So $2.5 trillion of new borrowing capacity for the regulated industry. So now private credit has a competitor. What we are concerned about what our focus is, doesn't have to be a concern, is what is the relationship between private credit and the regulated sector? So are private credit funds borrowing from the regulated sector? You saw there was a transaction yesterday where Blue Owl sold a tranche of their loan portfolio to three pension funds and a captive insurance company. Mm-hmm. So that's moving it into the regulated industry. And you see almost every one of the private credit companies has a regulated entity. So now Treasury gets involved. So we are concerned. I am concerned with watching how does this get to the regulated financial system. As maybe some people in this room did, successfully predicted, and unfortunately successfully predicted, the subprime crisis that then turned into a banking crisis. And you could see like these CDOs and exotic instruments on bank balance sheets. So our job is to make sure that the regulated system is not affected by private credit. And, you know, we'll see. I think the private credit has been an exciting new feature. I think it bridged a gap, especially during the tough and tight regulatory times. I think that they were there during COVID when some of the banks were frozen. And I hope that they've been prudent.
It's Agriculture Today.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688. There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
I came to Congress this session with this sincere hope that we could get a five-year, 12-title farm bill across the finish line. With the Farm and Hunger Coalition that has so successfully worked together so many times before.
Minnesota Representative Angie Craig, ranking member of the House Ag Committee.
As we walk through each of the titles over the course of the last 2 days, it's clear what a shell of a farm bill this bill truly is. The farm programs funded in the Big Beautiful Bill would have been supported by the minority in the farm bill. But unfortunately, we picked winners for new investment in the Big Beautiful Bill and decimated Title IV outside of regular order. Now, today, we've proposed, but it's been rejected, to invest new money into many farm programs that have been stagnated after nearly a decade of inflation. This bill delivers what no one is asking for, the status quo. Folks, it is not status quo in farm country. A global trade war has left devastating impacts to our nation's farmers. And the farm assistance offered thus far by this administration is a fraction of the need. We offered to help farmers and families during this markup today, but apparently we can only spend money when it cuts taxes for the wealthy in this country, like my colleagues voted for in reconciliation last year. I don't know any farmer in Minnesota who's asking for the status quo. Have we made some bipartisan improvements to the bill during the amendment process over the past couple of days? Of course. But despite that, this remains a disappointing farm bill process that does not meet the moment. This bill doesn't lower input costs or stabilize our export markets. It doesn't help make food more affordable while prices surge under Trump's backward economic policies. And it's going to have challenges getting broad bipartisan support on the House floor, if it makes it there. My colleagues, my sincere hope is that this is just Act One of several acts to get a true bipartisan farm bill across the finish line in this Congress. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to say I will vote no on this bill.
Chairman of the House Ag Committee from Pennsylvania, G.T. Thompson.
Let me just say, over the last 2 days, a little more than 20 hours, we've heard a lot of good discussion on farm bill programs. I want to thank all members for engaging with the 12 titles of the Farm Food and National Security Act of 2026, both during this markup and over the course of this Congress. The basis for this farm bill came from tripartisan work, Republicans and Democrats joining with key stakeholders in agriculture, visiting 43 different states and one territory, over 150 different listening sessions. You're not going to find in construction a more bipartisan bill. Take the politics, take the Trump derangement syndrome out of it, pure and simple. This is a great farm bill. If we focus on the people we're supposed to be focusing on, and that's the hardworking farm families, the ranchers, the foresters of this nation, this is what they've asked for. We asked them what they needed, and they told us. And that's what we put into this, and we did it in a tripartisan way. Bringing those key stakeholders to the table. And for those of you on committee last Congress, thank you for staying the course and for your input and contributions to this farm bill reauthorization. Also, thank you to majority and minority committee staff and House Legislative Council for all their hard work and support in crafting this bill. And we thank the Congressional Budget Office for their work.
It's Agriculture Today.
This has been Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally sold thousands of acres of grassland in Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, and Oklahoma. Our inventory on ranches is as low as it has been in years. We really need listings on ranches of all sizes. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.
Let's talk about Cotton Research. Cotton Incorporated funds more than 400 ag research projects every year. They study cotton, engineering, economic development, entomology, agronomy, pathology, variety selection, expanded cotton seed uses. And that's just the start. You grow the Cotton Research and Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
with Agriculture Today. Here's Tony St. James.
The story for the year is progress being made on price.
Justin Benavides is chief economist at USDA.
Not hitting it out of the park, not solving everyone's problems in terms of pricing overnight, but prices generally expected to move modestly higher. We see about a dime increase in price per bushel for both corn, beans, and wheat, about 3 cent gain in season average price forecast for upland cotton, and about a $2.20 increase in the price of all rice price. From there on the far right-hand side, you can see where the insurance setting period was averaged at for all of those commodities as of February 17th earlier this year. So again, price is expected to move modestly higher, not making incredible leaps and bounds, but about a dime increase per bushel on those three first commodities and about 3 cent per pound gain on upland cotton. What does that mean for the acreage question? We'll always have the classic question of acreage between soybean and corn acres. We see that this year we're trending more towards the soybean acreage side than we were at this time last year, and getting back up to about that 10-year average where we trend more towards the soybean production and a little bit less towards corn acres, this favoring a relative increase in the number of acres for soybeans as opposed to corn. Given, again, last year, I think a lot of producers were in preparation for trade negotiations with China and trended towards planting a lot more acres of corn as opposed to soybeans. We wound up the end of the year with, I believe, 98.8 million acres of corn, which led us to that lower relative price for corn compared to soybeans. So we do expect to see relatively more soybean acres compared to last year, especially when in the context of corn and corn price. So we look at the acreage question, see a fairly substantial swing between corn and beans. The World Ag Outlook Board has 4.8 million acre reduction in acres of corn, 3.8 million acre increase in acres of beans, and then marginal changes across the rest of the five crop complex for a total decline in planted acres across those five crops of about 1.5 million acres. Again, all of these data points are available online as of 7 a.m. this morning. The big story here, the swap between corn and bean acres, leaving us with about 94 million acres of corn, 85 million acres of beans, 45 million acres of wheat on the year, 9.2 million acres of cotton, and 2.5 million acres of rice.
He says ad hoc payments can't just keep going on and on. Demand has to increase.
What are the ways out? Changing demand is the long-term solution to getting prices higher, even in an environment with higher cost of production. So there are a few trends in demand that we certainly want to think about. Changing consumption patterns domestically being one of those trends. We have a huge trend towards protein density and protein-dense products. We have the GLP-1 influence that is certainly going to be a factor going forward on total food consumption. Then we want to talk extensively about trade. We already had a great panel this morning talking about some of the successes in negotiating markets for U.S. products. I'm going to talk briefly about something that I'm excited about, the expansion of biofuel, 45Z rule, as well as the RFS, something that's being worked on extensively in the Office of the Chief Economist I'm very excited about. And then again, we already mentioned briefly, growing protein consumption globally. As we see incomes increase globally, that increases the demand for protein and therefore the demand for some of those feed input products.
It's Agriculture Today.
You hear that? That's the sound of forever. Because there's nowhere else you'd rather spend forever than on land like this. Tending a herd, growing crops, raising a family. At Capital Farm Credit, we thrive at helping the next generation of farmers and ranchers like yourself by providing advice, products, and opportunities to help you build a life on the land you love most. To learn more, visit CapitalFarmCredit.com. Capital Farm Credit. Together, we're better.
The planting season is right around the corner. You can't afford to be down when it's time to go. Wiley Implement and Spray Center, your Case IH dealer, can get your equipment ready for the season and keep you running. We also have a great selection of new and used planters for the upcoming season. Depend on Wiley's 13 locations across Texas and Oklahoma. Find us at WileySprayers.com.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
This is Agriculture Today.
The committee achieved the first meaningful investments in the farm safety net since 2002 in H.R. 1. These investments were long past due and necessary to help producers respond to increased costs of equipment, fertilizer, and fuel.
Austin Scott from Georgia is a member of the House Ag Committee.
Through H.R. 1, we increased reference prices between 10 and 20%, and we enhanced agriculture risk coverage program, authorized 30 million new base acres, and made a $6 billion investment in crop insurance. With H.R. 1, we were able to extend a much-needed helping hand to the American farmer. Now, here's how this additional language will help. Credit. As we've seen in the last 5 years, higher interest rates have driven up borrowing costs and narrowed production margins for producers around the country. In the credit title, we enhance financing options for producers through updates to loan limits, expanding access to ensuring faster turnaround times. We support beginning young and small farmers by streamlining access and cutting red tape. We reauthorized and improved the AIRS Property Relending Program based on my colleague from Georgia, Representative Sanford Bishop's bill, the AIRS Act. We create an expanded approval pilot program that streamlines access to capital, which includes provisions from a bill that I authored, H.R. 7475, that addresses the bridge loan gap that was highlighted during Representative David's and my subcommittee hearing on financing farm operations in July. We have a lot of specialty crop wins. As you know, specialty crop producers have been a historically underserved group due to challenges in developing a specialty crop safety net. Through the establishment of a specialty crop advisory committee and a specialty crop coordinator, this farm bill will help address the gaps in the safety net and enhance the effectiveness of programs as well as improve and expand insurance program for our specialty crop producers. I also want to mention the ready-to-use therapeutic foods. I'd like to mention a letter from the American peanut, dairy, and soy producers thanking the committee for the inclusion of language that advances the use and procurement of American-made, ready-to-use therapeutic foods, also known as RUTF. This provision allows us to continue saving the lives of children around the world while supporting American jobs and American growers. I've seen firsthand the critical role RUTF plays in addressing global malnutrition, and I am proud to have MANA, one of the leading suppliers of this nutrition in my district. They are the largest RUTF manufacturer in the United States of America. I want to talk about the bipartisanship of this bill, specifically Titles 1, 5, and 11. Now, some on the other side of the aisle have called this bill partisan. They've said it's full of poison pills. I want to set the record straight for the Americans that are watching this. My subcommittee, the subcommittee I'm privileged to chair, the General Farm Commodities Risk Management and Credit Subcommittee, works on Titles 1, 5, and 11. Title 1, Commodities, includes language from 5 bipartisan bills and no partisan bills. Title 5, Credit, includes language from 8 bipartisan bills. Title 11, Crop Insurance, includes language from 4 bipartisan bills. Now, unlike what some Democrats would have you believe, this bipartisanship continues throughout the rest of the titles. This may go down for people who actually look at the facts as the most bipartisan farm bill ever. And Mr. Chairman, I'm committed to work with anybody who will work in good faith, as I know you are, to include additional provisions in this bill. I want to thank you for your leadership, Chairman Thompson. I want to thank you for the work you did in H.R. 1, and I want you to know that I look forward to working with you to carry this bill the rest of the way across the floor and have it signed into the law.
It's Agriculture Today.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688. There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.